What I'd love to offer, we've got a choice of options right now. One is, I'm going to get to this in a moment, the grown-ups here, those who are going to be listening to me, or at least giving every impression of doing so. And the other choice is for the younger members of the church family, for whom we've got some paper and pens, particularly if you want to come to the front and do colouring. But if you want colouring, paper and pens, my glamorous assistants at the front, who are just now realising who they are going to be moving among you with colouring papers and pens. And children, listen to this. This is what I'd love you to do. I'd love you to design an invitation to your next birthday party. So if you are 8, you can design an invitation to your 9th birthday party. If you run out of time, I'm still talking when you're finished, then if you turn over, you can draw a picture of the famous person you would most like to invite to your birthday party. So think of somebody famous, somebody you look up to, could be anybody, could be the Queen, but don't just all draw the Queen. Think of something, and then we go. And of course, if the rest of you have finished listening and I'm still talking, then we'll just have to negotiate that when we get there. Whilst we're handing out the papers and pens, a couple of questions for the grown-ups here. I just want you to recall in your mind for a moment, whilst the paper and pens are going round, I'd invite you to recall a significant invitation that you have received over the course of your life. A significant invitation. And if that comes very quickly, or if you can't think of one, then how about if you are having a fantasy dinner party, what one guest would you like to invite? And church family, it doesn't have to be Jesus, okay? You don't have to put Jesus. There won't be a test as such. What would be the person you would most invite to a fantasy dinner party? So we'll just have a time to think about that whilst the kids get their paper and pens. Okay, I think paper and pens are almost distributed. So I just want a quick shout out from people. Your fantasy dinner guest. Anybody got a really good one? Taylor Swift. Thank you. Okay. Els has just, as far as I'm aware, just joined two names together and put them out there. I'm sure Taylor Swift is somebody who'd be wonderful to have at the dinner party. I'm showing my age now. Anybody else? Shout out. Sorry? Sir Cliff Richard. Okay. Jill. I can't. Andy Murray, our previous curate. Oh, the tennis player. Sorry. Okay. Anybody else round the edges got a famous person they'd love to invite? David Attenborough. That would be a fantastic one. Absolutely brilliant. I've no idea what you'd serve for food, but that would be great. One more, and then I'm going to have to move on. Yeah, Jasper's got one. He's formulating it. No, come on, stop. Anybody else? One more. Noah. Cristiano Ronaldo. Okay. Fantastic. Wonderful. I just want to tell you my own story about a significant invitation. I didn't realize it at the time, but this invitation would go on to become formative in the life that I have lived. I was a student at Exeter University, and I can't really remember the age. I was something around 19, 20, possibly 21. And I was part of the Christian Union at Exeter University. And we went away for a weekend as a group, whole group of us, 30, 40, maybe more. And we camped on a farm. Farmer let us camp in one of his fields, overlooking Willacombe Beach or around that area. And it was a fantastic time. And I remember we went to the nearest church we could find. It was a tiny little chapel. I guess Brethren, for those of you who are interested in that sort of thing. And we went to their morning service, and we multiplied the size of their congregation by quite a number. It was a tiny group of people. And you know, they were some of the most welcoming, generous, gracious people I've ever met in my life. So much so, and here's the invitation, they invited us to come back that evening and lead their evening service. They'd never met us before. They didn't really know much about us. Obviously, we told them where we were from and that we were part of the Christian Union. And they gave this invitation to us. And basically, we went back that evening and some of us played music. Not me, obviously, if you know me. And others did. And we were down on the beach that afternoon and we were beginning to think, well, what are we going to do? And of course, the question then came up, well, who's going to give the talk? And the whole group pointed at me and said, well, you can do that. So that was a sort of invitation. And I had led Bible studies before and a youth camp I used to go to, but I'd never in my life spoken to a group of adult Christians. Never before. And that was invitation for me. Now, I remember I wandered off from the group on the beach and I just asked God for inspiration. What would I talk about? And I saw, you know, when beaches are folded neatly, those rippled sands, do you know the thing? And I spotted that where the ripples were high, there was no water. And where the ripples were low, the water flowed. And all I did, this was going to sound so cheesy and simple, but I spoke about the choice we have in life if we follow Jesus to be places that push ourselves up and therefore get no water of the Holy Spirit, to use the analogy, or actually be willing to be channels of God's Spirit. But that was the first thing that I was ever invited to do of that nature. And so this morning, the title of my talk is simply The Power of Invitation. The Power of Invitation. You thought earlier of people you would invite to a fancy dinner party. And we've all extended invitations to people over many years, I'm sure. And I've been trying to think, and you may want to think about this yourself, what is the reason for inviting somebody to something? And I guess there are a number of answers you could give to that. I mean, you might say, well, I had to invite so-and-so, or they'd have been offended, or they'd have felt left out. Okay. But most of the time, I think we invite people. You might invite somebody to join your sports team, not just because they're a nice person, but because you know they can score or defend or whatever it might be. You might invite somebody to your party because you reckon they're really good at bringing nice presents. You might invite somebody to join your gang or your club or whatever it is because of what they will bring to it. Invitation is one of the ways of viewing the Bible. Right from the very beginning, even in the act of creation, God is inviting the people he creates into life and into relationship with him. And the invitation of God in the Bible boils down to two things. We're invited into family and we're invited into life. I just want to read to you three very brief verses from part of the Old Testament, a book called Isaiah. And there God, speaking through the prophet, issues this invitation. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. God's invitation is into family and into life. We believe that every human being is created in God's image, but no one is born a child of God. That happens by invitation. And the invitation comes by Jesus, and he has the right to make us part of God's family, because he gave his life to buy that right. When we are invited into God's family, we become brothers and sisters with Jesus. And just as in the Roman world, those who are adopted into families got exactly the same rights as the children of that family who'd been born to the parents, so we have equal rights with Jesus. Just as those adopted children were allowed to inherit equally with the family children, so the Bible tells us that we will inherit with Jesus. And what we inherit is the gift of life. And the Bible talks about that in two distinct ways. The gift of life forever, so that whenever this life ends, as we put our trust in Jesus, we will then enter life that never ends. But we don't have to wait for life then. Jesus said, I've come to bring life, life in all its fullness. Life in all its fullness. That is the invitation of Jesus. And that's why we bring children to baptism and dedication. It's the most extraordinary symbol of the power of invitation. Jasper cannot arrange this service himself. Neither can Jacob. Jasper and Jacob can't even get themselves into the building without being brought in by others. They're invited and welcomed in at a point in their lives where they have no power to effect it for themselves. There's nothing that they have to bring to persuade me as the vicar to put on this service. They have nothing, as it were, to offer, apart from being utterly adorable, of course, but leaving that aside. And just so, the Bible says that really we have very little to offer, and yet God invites everyone. It's not like a sports team where you get invited in on the basis of what you can do. It's not like a club where you're invited because of what you can bring and how you can enhance things. God's invitation through Jesus is for everyone. Come all who are thirsty. And every invitation that I've ever received comes with an RSVP, comes with a request for a response. And so I just want to close this part of our gathering this morning with two opportunities for people to respond. Firstly, I want just to speak to those who are hearing the invitation of Jesus to family and life afresh, or possibly for the very first time. You may never have actually heard the invitation of Jesus put this way. You might never have understood that the invitation that Jesus wants to give you is into his worldwide family and into a life that begins now and then lasts forever. So even as our children accompany us this morning, I just want to leave a pause. If you're hearing this invitation for the first time, or if you're hearing it afresh in a new way, just as you sit quietly, what's your RSVP? And then to those who perhaps are members of our church family or have come from other churches and have already made their response to the invitation of Jesus. They've been invited and welcomed into his family and they've discovered life in a new way. Members of our church family, you might remember over the last couple of weeks, we've gone through something we called consecrating, setting ourselves apart for God. And then last week, we commissioned one another. And our commissioning boils down to the work of extending the invitation of Jesus to everyone, everywhere we are sent. We have the privilege of taking from this place the invitation of Jesus into family and into life. Let me just pray before we baptize Jasper. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus came to win the right to extend an invitation into your family to everyone who responds. I pray, Lord, this morning for any who have responded for the first time to your invitation to life. I pray that you will fill them with your Spirit, lead them to a place they can worship you and learn more about you. And I pray for those of us who have maybe long ago responded to your invitation, that we will dedicate ourselves to taking your invitation to all who need to hear it. Amen. If you are here and you've made that response for the first time, will you please come and have a word with me at the end? I'll be at one of the doors at the back and just quietly let me know. I'd love to have a chat to you about that.